Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
All right, Dad.
Hey, handsome. How are you today?
Yeah, you know, hanging in there, doing well. You
know, good.
So here's the deal. The second episode of Auto Insider.
Yeah.
Which is, again, you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the comforting part of all this is we're relying on, I don't know, my 43 years in the business. Thank God for that.
I'm 24, so I couldn't even pretend. But
so just out of curiosity, before you ask me a question, other than like moderating and co-hosting and asking me the questions, what the hell do you bring to the table? I'm just kidding.
I finally figured out the audio, so for the folks that are listening to this.
I appreciate that.
So, title of today's podcast episode, Dad, we talked about in the previous episode the dysfunction of the car business and really how and why buying a car is so difficult. Today, really wanted to focus in on how you can be a more informed new car shopper. You spent decades as a new car sales manager. I don't think I'm stretching the truth there by saying decades.
No.
Yeah, so...
Four?
Yeah, four decades, yeah. So, buying... Buying new cars is the focus of today. We'll do a future episode, be the next episode, actually, all about used cars. But let's really lay it out there. When someone comes into the dealership, or more frequently now, online, and they're interacting with the internet sales rep or the sales manager, how can they be an informed new car shopper?
Well, today it's easier than it's ever been. There's that thing that Al Gore invented, the internet. Somebody corrected me and told me it was somebody else, but hell, it just sounds so much better if you go, Al Gore did it, because, well, why the hell not? So somebody invented the internet, and that gave people the opportunity to do a lot of research, to, at an instant, be able to pull up information about different things. So the easiest way for anybody to improve a car buying experience, I don't know, is to be informed. And because you've heard me say it, and I've probably written it in some comments, knowledge is power. What most people are afraid of when they're going to buy a car is that, well, the salesperson has all the knowledge, so the salesperson has all the power. And the internet, the Google machine, allows you to level the playing field to a certain degree so that you can have some knowledge, you being the consumer, you can pick up some knowledge. So what would you want to know? What information would be necessary to have a better understanding as to what it is that dealers can or can't do? So one of the things you'd want to know, I would think, is, you know, the approximate cost of whatever it is you're looking to buy, whichever car it is that you're looking to buy. And there's websites out there that can give you a pretty good idea as to what the cost is on a given vehicle. Now, it might not be 100% accurate, but if it's 98% accurate, well, you've got 98% more information than you had before.
And we're talking specifically about new cars, so you obviously have access to the manufacturer's suggested retail price, but you're going a layer deeper. You're saying the dealer invoice price? Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes. You can find out what the approximate cost to the dealer was for that vehicle.
Let's give some specifics. I mean, I know I really like the Edmunds, I forget what it's like, TLV, true vehicle, that TV, I don't know, something like that.
Good. Edmunds. You're on top of this like I am.
No, but seriously, Edmunds has a really compelling...
They will give you the approximate cost. And depending on markets, they can be slight variations, because in a major metropolitan market, so let's say where there's 8 or 10 Chevrolet dealers, well, there could be an advertising association for those 8 or 10 Chevrolet dealers, and they might all kick in $300 per car to the local metropolitan ad association. So that's $300 that's going to be on an invoice for them that wouldn't say necessarily be on the invoice for a dealer in, I don't know, Cary, North Carolina, let's say. So there are regionalized differences as far as some minor costs might be. But you can get a real good, a real clear idea as to what the dealer will pay for the vehicle. Now, where you run into a little more difficulty is you can also go, I believe, to Edmunds, and they have a lookup for you of what the incentives are that are available on most cars, if not all cars, the manufacturer's incentives. Now, what it might not have is what the manufacturer incentive to the dealer may be, because there could oftentimes be just dealer-specific incentives. But consumer incentives, you can find out what those are before you go to the dealer. So you'd know what the wholesale cost, approximate wholesale cost to the dealer is. You'd know what the manufacturer to customer incentives are that you can utilize. So now you have two bits of information that you wouldn't necessarily have had in the past. And that goes a long way into the negotiating process. When you get to the dealership, and before you get to the dealership, you're going to check the local dealers to see what their inventory is. And once you've settled on the car that you think you might want at that particular dealership, and you start going back and forth, you can go back and forth just via email. You and I have done that for a number of the customers that
plenty
we
of
used
times.
To work, yeah, that we used to work with. At a certain point, you just ask the question: What are the manufacturer to dealer incentives that I don't know about? And they're going to go, well, what do you mean? Well, I don't know. Oftentimes, I've heard through the grapevine that there could be sales objectives for you on particular models. On the model I'm looking at, is there a sales objective? And is there an added bonus if you hit that objective? Or is there a per-car bonus for selling just those units? What is that? And would that be available to me? And they're going to look at you, even on the keyboard, like cross-eyed, like, how would you know this stuff? But you know to ask, and you'll find somebody that'll be honest enough to tell you what that is. So now you have a third bit of information that you might not have had. And then there's other tools like TrueCar that can give you a sense of what people might be paying for the cars in your particular area. Now, please bear in mind, and you've heard me say it before, that they'll have like really, really unbelievable deals, and then they'll have good deals and then average deals, and well, you're paying too much deals. Well, the really, really unbelievable deals, which could happen, only happen on occasion, and they tend to happen at the end of the month when a dealer is one or two cars away from hitting a major incentive objective that they have from the manufacturer that might pay the dealership, I don't know, $100,000 bonus. And they might be willing to lose $3,000 in order to make that $100,000. So that person that got that unbelievable deal might have been that guy that showed up at that moment in time when they were desperate to make a deal so they could pick up an extra $100,000. So that might not be a deal you'll be able to get, but it gives you some idea as to, during certain time frames, especially if you're at the end of a month, when everything comes into play for these dealerships, that you might have a bit more leverage than you'd have, say, the 4th or the 5th of the month. So, to make your job easier, now you know, well, maybe I need to start the negotiations around the 25th of the month and let them know that I'm prepared to move forward and close on this deal by the last day of the month, because I understand it's not only in your best interest for that, but it's in my best interest. So now you're in a position where you have a little more leverage, a little more strength, a little more insight, a little more knowledge, and you get to utilize that knowledge to your advantage.
So just to slow it down and make sure I'm following, so to be a more informed new car buyer, I need to do my research on a website like Edmunds, and or if I can find an invoice price somewhere on the depths of the internet, get my hands on dealer cost.
Yes.
Then after that, make myself aware of manufacturer to customer incentives. So yes. Those are going to be the recent college graduate, the active or retired military. If there's a particular cash rebate on a make or model that I might be interested in.
Yeah.
Or finance deals.
Or maybe there's loyalty.
Loyalty, or, yeah. Yep.
So, first responder. There's any number.
Yep. So that's number two. Number three is where I, you know, this is, I'll reorient the order that you shared this. I'll say number three is understand the time of the month that you're engaging with the dealer. And if you're really shopping on price, or you just want to feel like you got a great deal, do this towards the end of the month. Then number four, when you do engage with the dealer, let them know that you know that they have something riding on getting your, you know, unit
that
through.
They have incentives from the manufacturer strictly for them, that if they hit a sales goal, that could pay them lots of money. And that all you want to do, because you're such a good-hearted consumer, is you just want to help them be able to reach their goal.
And I guess maybe there's a fifth piece of information to help you be more informed as you buy a new car, which is don't offer $5,000 under invoice, or the reality is you don't make money selling new cars. You've told me this. The more involved in the industry I've become, it the more clear it is. You don't have to even Google that far before you get to NADA, and they're talking about how you lose $500 per new car sold on average. You know, and the reason is because dealerships make their money, and we'll do an episode in the future on this. We have videos on YouTube where Ray explains it, my dad explains it to a T. You make money on service and finance and selling parts. Hard stop. Anyway, I think that's a fifth point that's really important, is you can rub a salesperson or a sales manager the wrong way and not get them to respond to your emails or phone calls pretty quickly if you just start lowballing left and right.
It's like anything in life. You'll attract more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. And the same holds true for when you're dealing with people at a dealership. And I know that the vast majority of our audience hates with a capital H, a capital A, a capital T, a capital E, and a capital S, hates having to deal with car people. But somehow you got to figure out how to get on their good side so that they want to help you. And you don't get on their good side by telling them up front, you're a miserable piece of shit, and I really don't want to have to deal with you, but I will because you have the car I want. Well, that's not the way that you're going to endear yourself to them and get them to want to really work on your behalf. And it doesn't take that much psychologically to butter them up and make them want to help you.
Definitely.
You know, you have to approach it with them that you want this to be a collaborative effort, not an adversarial one.
But like we talked about in the first episode of this series, it's a two-way street. So many people have been burnt. Yeah. You know, I will also mention, because I think it's really relevant here, Dad, and maybe you can touch on it briefly, the internet price that you see for this vehicle is also complete and utter bullshit. So recognize that when you're online and you're browsing either Car Gurus and then you go to the vehicle detail page on the dealer website, like recognize that up front, that it's probably showing you, and you can scroll down to the very bottom in the fine print, this does not include dealer fees, this also includes every single rebate known to mankind.
So you need a 10 power magnifying glass to be able to read that really fine small print. But you need to read it, and you need to understand that, rightly or wrongly, dealerships figure that the only way they have to get you to click on their website is to lowball you with a price, to win, because that's what most people shop, is they shop the price. So, you know, the guy that's got the low price on the internet wins.
So let's take this back to your point. Number one, maybe we can tie a bow here with this.
Well, I'll try.
Which would be, we've got the invoice price.
Yes.
Or 98%, like you said, of the invoice price. We have an understanding of what manufacturer incentives we qualify for.
Yeah.
One caveat there, a lot of manufacturer incentives do not aggregate on top of one another. They'll cancel each other out. So just bear that in mind. Read the small print on the Hyundai website or the Chevrolet website. And you're engaging the dealer at the end of the month, and you're talking to them in their language, talking about how I know you have a factory incentive most likely to hit at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Let me help you. What should I offer? Because we're saying don't do a low ball. Don't trust the internet price. Should you be taking that invoice price plus a fixed number, $1,250, $500? You know, do you have any type of guidance there?
Take the invoice price and say, I don't know, folks. What if I agreed to do it at invoice and you make your holdback? Would that work? Or, hey, I understand that you get holdback, and holdback can be anywhere from 2 to maybe 3.5% of the base MSRP. So, what do you say? Why don't we start at holdback less, I don't know, 1.5%, and you get your 1.5% holdback. And the dealer will go, I'm not sure, you know, we really need to make more money. And you can remind them, hey, the little bit of research I've done is new car departments don't really make money. I understand that. So I'm actually offering you a profit. And in most cases, you would have accepted less than what I'm offering you. So why don't we just move forward and make this easy? And, you know, you'll find some guys that'll feel like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with this customer. I'll find others that go, you know what? Why don't we just do this, get it out of the way, and I can get on to the next customer, and maybe I can make some money on the next customer.